Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Monday, March the 18th. And today we're going to chat with our good friend, that good-looking guy there to my right or left. I'm not sure how it comes across on the screen. I know he's not to my left. That I do know politically, but it's my good friend, George Rodriguez, who's joining us from South Texas. George, it's always a pleasure to have you.
Thank you very much for inviting me, as usual.
All right. Well, we got to get into a couple of things today related to Texas, but I want to begin. George, I am getting ready for the bloodbath. Are you? I mean, are you like really?
I heard there's going to be a bloodbath, yes.
Yes, I heard about that. So I'm ready. I am like ready. Where's my machete? You know, I need to go out and start engaging.
I've got a pitchfork.
All right, there you go. So I am ready for the bloodbath. I mean, they keep telling us that that's what. But, you know, George, in all seriousness, the people who jumped on this look so silly. Even they're telling each other, you know, no reason to do this. If you hear what President Trump was saying, he was saying that he wants to put a tariff on these cars coming from Mexico, particularly the ones being made, the electric cars, really. Being made at these, apparently, I didn't know that they were already built, but China is planning to build some manufacturing facilities in Mexico. And he was basically saying, if we don't stop that, there's going to be a bloodbath in the auto industry, meaning that people are going to lose their jobs. That's what Correct. He was saying. But somehow this has become, I guess he's planning another January 6th, George.
Yes. That's certainly what it sounds like.
Yeah. So it's like, how silly can these people be? I mean, at what point do they start actually looking at what they're saying and realizing how silly they sound, George?
Well, obviously they don't. If they did, they would, you know, we would never have the Russia collusion. We would have never had the January 6th rebellion or insurgency. We would have never had a lot of this stuff. I mean, this is just craziness. However, there we have it. I mean, they wonder, the mainstream media keeps wondering why people don't have confidence in them anymore. Well, you know, just look at how you report.
You know, I was listening to Hugh Hewitt. I don't know if he's in local San Antonio radio.
Yes. He's on our network, in fact.
Oh, is he? Okay. Well, here in the Dallas area, he's on very early in the morning, so I usually don't catch him. But I do pick him up on the internet. He does have, you know, a website where you can catch part of his show. He's got some great guests, and I enjoy, you know, checking out what he has to say. And today he was talking about this bloodbath.
Yes.
And he was talking about that what we are seeing, and I'm paraphrasing, but I think I've got it right. What we are seeing is a news media basically talking to each other.
Yes.
So they live in this blue bubble.
Yes.
Where all they do is talk to each other. They don't have another point of view that comes in and says, well, let me tell you about this. And they basically, that's how they live in this blue bubble. How they operate. And, you know, they think they're all very smart, and people like you and me are very stupid. And that, you know, somehow they can just keep saying these things and, you know, they're going to win the election, I guess, telling us about the bloodbath coming, I guess.
Yeah, all you have to do is just look at their Sunday shows on MSNBC, on CNN, on NBC, on CBS. Look at their Sunday shows, and you recognize that, you realize, should I say, that they are basically talking to each other. They're talking to other liberals about liberal opinions that they can verify, that they can affirm. And, you know, it's crazy because quite often, again, the things that they are affirming are more about what they think and feel rather than reality.
Right. Now, there, you know, I don't think, let me phrase it this way. I think this is what social media has, in essence, has done.
Yes.
Because at one time, I remember, for example, ABC News on Sundays, the morning show. And you had David Brinkley, you had George Will, you had Sam Donaldson, and every once in a while, Cokie Roberts would join in. And, you know, I didn't agree with Sam Donaldson, but you had George Will there to counteract whatever he would say. And David Brinkley was a straight shooter, and Cokie Roberts was very good too. But it just seems to me that you didn't have this kind of...
These days are gone. These days are gone. Those days are gone.
Yeah, but that wasn't that long ago, George. You're talking 20 years ago.
I think that that what we've got now are folks who want to reaffirm their position and want you to agree with them. And sadly, we've got a lot of people who listen, and because you're not hearing a counterpoint, because you're not hearing a balance, take what they say for gospel. That is a real, real sad situation that we've got. And, the worst one, I mean, all you have to do is just listen for a little while to Joy Reid and the people that she has on her show. I mean, that is about as liberal leftist propaganda as you can get. And there's nothing to do to counter it.
But I think in the case of Joy Reid, she is not just liberal, okay? I have no problem with her being a liberal, but she's flaky. I mean, the stuff they're talking about there is just, I mean, it's just crazy.
Well, as we speak right now, the Supreme Court is considering this situation of how much influence a government administration can have on social media. And it all revolves around the Biden administration controlling what was said in social media, on Facebook, on Twitter, what was said regarding COVID. You could not question COVID. You could not question the treatment for COVID. You were banned from social media. And so the question now is, how can you, what is the role of federal government in social media? And you've got people, I have been listening to them this morning, you've got people on MSNBC, on CNN, who say very, very clearly that it is the right of the government to protect people from misinformation. And so it is correct for the government to determine what is misinformation. That is scary.
That is scary because someday they're going to be on the wrong side of that misinformation. That's exactly the part they don't understand.
Well, let me give you something even more scary. Even more scary is the is that we have a justice, a brand new justice. I cannot remember her name, the black lady.
I think her last name is Brown, if I remember correctly. Yeah, you're talking about the lady that President Biden put in. Yeah, I think her last name is Brown. Yeah.
Brown. Justice Brown agreed, and she stated that it is the role and duty of government to protect the people.
Well, that sounds really good. That sounds good, but I think it can be overdone. It can be overdone, exactly, which is what this case is all about. And I can relate to this COVID thing because when it first came out, exactly 4 years ago, in fact, if you remember, I think it was April, 4 years ago, when this whole thing came out and we were having conversations. And I'll be honest, I was as concerned as anybody else about it. It was something brand new. We didn't know anything about it. There was all kinds of talk about that came from China and all of that. But still, I was willing to go along with it in the sense that I wore a mask for a while and that we closed. If you remember, we closed the entire month of April, as I recall.
Everything was closed.
Everything was closed. And so, I was willing to go along with it because I didn't really know the threat. And I was willing to give the government the benefit of a doubt to a point, right? But then came May and June, and Texas began to open, thankfully, and all these other places were closed. And I'm sitting there saying, wait a minute, how can Texas open and those states don't? There's got to be, what do they know that we don't know? Well, they didn't know anything. They were just, the schools, I think, were the best case.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, our schools were opening in August, And their schools were still closing. They're saying, wait a minute, what do they know that we don't know? What? They didn't know anything other than they wanted to. Actually, I think their intention was to hurt Trump with the economy. That's what I think that it was.
I really do believe that.
Yeah.
That is exactly what I believe.
But I mean, at some point, I mean, we do have the right to at least be skeptical of what government is saying. And it got to a point where you couldn't say, you know, if you came out and said, well, the vaccines don't work, that was like you were.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Burning at the stake.
Exactly.
You know, it was a witch hunt on that point.
Yes.
So, and that's the scary part. I mean, that may be an extreme example to some people, but it certainly shows that, you know, if you've got an opposing point of view, you ought to be able to express it in social media.
Yeah. And if you don't like it,
without the government getting involved.
Right. And that's exactly right. And if you don't like my point of view, just delete it or move on.
I mean, you know, host your own point of view. I mean, it is social media. It is like social media is like the park, the free speech in the park. You can go and you can speak. You can be very, very nasty and people will, you know, move away from you. Or you can be very eloquent and people will, and you will draw people. But the fact is that what you say and how you say it, it should not be determined by the government.
No, I agree. Again, I think, by the way, I have not been listening. I did hear what you said about Justice Brown, because that somebody pointed that out. But what I'm hearing, though, the few things that I've heard about these, you know, the presentation today, there are a lot of skeptical justices, including Mr. Alito, who's apparently very concerned about censorship. Look, I think censorship is a bad idea. I don't care who's behind it. And I agree with you. I think social media is like the, you know, the place where everybody speaks. And if you don't like it, you can listen to it. If you don't like it, move on.
Exactly.
But don't try to shut me down. So I agree with that. But anyway, this thing about the bloodbath is so stupid that it's ridiculous. I mean, it's just absolute. And then they wonder, George, why the trust in the media is going down.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Yeah. They're sitting there going, gee, why is it that less people trust what we do or what we say or what we report? Well, my answer would be, hey, guys, have you actually listening? Are you watching yourselves? Are you listening?
Exactly.
Well, anyway, let's talk about a couple of quick things. Well, one, we were supposed to have something on the Supreme Court in SB4 by the 18th. If I understand it correctly, George, correct me if I'm wrong, the court has until the 18th. Now, if a court doesn't do anything by the 18th, does that mean that it goes back to the appeal court and the law goes in the books or stays on?
One of two things. They cannot do anything and it just goes back into the books.
Back to the appeals court.
Correct. Or they can just delay it, issue a delay and say we're not ready to make a decision on it.
Right. So they could buy more time, I guess. That's what you're saying. Yeah, let's say another week.
Which may happen because the way that I am hearing the discussion or that I've heard the discussion regarding the role of the federal government and the failure of the federal government, it's they apparently really, really want to put the federal government on notice that they being the conservative judges, that they have failed completely and miserable in protecting the border. And that's a very delicate way to put it for the, you know, to explain it. But
well, if you remember, George, the last time that this came up and it had to do with the Border Patrol and this particular park, I forgot the name of the park on the border, four justices bought what Texas was saying.
Exactly.
Exactly. And that was before there was any further presentation.
That may be where this delay is coming from.
Yes.
How are these justices, if they're going to look justice-like, if they're going to look impartial, if they're going to look like they care about law and order, how the heck are they going to say no? You can't protect your citizens. You can't protect your property when they themselves are not doing it, when the federal government itself is not doing it.
And that's the whole point that Texas is making. So I thought we might have it today, but it may be later today or maybe during the week. But as I understand it, if the Supreme Court says, well, we're not going to take it or we're not going to opine. I love that word, opine. If they're not going to opine on this, then it does go back to the appeal court and the law goes into effect.
And it goes into effect.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Well, the main story that I wanted to talk to you about today was the primary and the turnout on the primary. Very interesting article that came out today in the Dallas Morning News. And some of these numbers are really interesting, George. Overall, 18% of the voters voted. 18%. That's less than 20%.
That's pretty low.
Very low. Now, what they're saying is that there wasn't any contest, like there was no presidential primary like you had back in 2008 between Obama.
There was no reason for them to go.
Yeah. But yeah, there was a pretty decent, I thought, pretty decent race there between Congressman Allred and State Senator Gutierrez. I thought that one got a lot of publicity, but that apparently didn't excite them.
Well, overall, Silvio, I think it's very difficult for the Democrats to excite anybody except their hardcore radical base. I just can't see. I mean, what issue was there that both of them could differentiate themselves on without alienating that radical base that they both want? What were they going to say? No, I don't support free abortions. Or were they going to say, no, I don't support taking guns away? They have really, in my opinion, painted themselves into a corner, particularly Democrats in South Texas, where the border is completely out of control. And in Uvalde, I mean, that's where Gutierrez kept on harping about the death of these kids at the hands of guns, not at the hands of a crazy guy, but at the hands of guns. And, you know, it becomes very, very difficult in a rural community where everybody has guns for them to win. And I just don't think, Allred is now going, has won. And I think, you know, he's portrayed himself as the moderate. He's going to have to run to the middle. I mean, he's going to have to run to the left, rather. He can't stay in the middle. He's going to have to run to the left.
Well, if he wants to get him excited, he has to run. Yeah. Yeah.
And if he does, then again, what it does do is it excites people who are upset about the border, who are upset about somebody trying to take their guns, who are upset about the economy, who are upset about having to pay what we pay every time that we fill up our car, what we're paying for eggs, what we're paying for meat. And it's incredible.
Right.
How can you not get excited over that?
Right. Well, and just again, the turnout on the Democrat side was amazing. I'll just give you a couple of quick numbers. I know sometimes numbers are difficult on a video, but 2 million people voted for Ted Cruz in the primary. 600,000 voted for Allred. Now, if you add the Gutierrez vote, he gets to the Democrats get to 800,000 or 900,000.
My gosh.
So two times more people voted for Ted Cruz, who was not running. He was basically on the ballot. That's all he was. I don't even recall a single campaign ad from Ted Cruz about his race. He was running against two people who I honestly had never heard of. Okay. Just two people who I guess decided to run for whatever reason, I don't know. On the other hand, you've got, Allred and Gutierrez having somewhat of a campaign. And I recall getting some things in the mail from another fellow who was also running for for that seat against, or trying to win that seat. So I you know, that's a real level of apathy. Now, it doesn't mean that they're not going to show up in November, but again, numbers, again, very quickly numbers. The last time that Ted Cruz won this seat, he got 4.5 million votes. The last time he won that seat. And that was back in 2018. That was not a presidential year, by the way. I think Trump is probably going to get a lot more than 4.5 million votes. You'll probably get 6 or maybe 7 million votes in Texas in the election. So Allred is going to have to find about 4 million votes in Texas just to compete with Ted Cruz, assuming he gets the same number as the last time. And I think he'll probably get more. So, yeah. I mean, he's got a tough job ahead, and he's trying, you know, he's pretending that he's a moderate and all this kind of stuff, but he's running abortion ads. That's all I've seen. That's all the ads I've seen from him. So anyway, but I think the larger question, and what I was asking you about, was just the apathy on the part of voters, both sides, really, both, if you look sides, at these, yeah, numbers. Do you think you think maybe it's an attack on the two-party system, that a lot of people are saying, I'm independent, I don't care about parties, and I'm not going to vote? Do you think that's some of it? Is
that might be some of it. Yeah, that might be some of it, because a lot of people are, you know, are turned off by Trump and everything that's been going on with the trial and the accusations and all that sort of, a lot of people are turned off with him. And certainly a lot of people are turned off with the Democrats. So, you know, the apathy, I think is real, and it needs to be overcome in some form or fashion. I think that the apathy on the Democrat side is worse. I don't know if it's outright apathy combined with dissatisfaction with the party and people departing it, or is it people just don't want to vote Democrat? So, I mean, it's one of those three things.
It's a combination of those things, I'm sure. But you also wonder what would be in this kind of an environment where it doesn't seem to be, you know, where there's dissatisfaction generally. That opens up, I think, the opportunity for somebody like Bobby Kennedy, Robert Kennedy Jr., to really come in and maybe get, I don't know, 10% of the vote.
Yep.
Something like that in Texas.
I think he is polling nationally at least 10%.
Yeah. In fact, higher in some cases, 15. Yeah. And, and so that could have an impact. There may be another candidate from the what they call the No Labels Party, who apparently is also looking at, who, you know, they're trying to find somebody that, what they're trying to do is they're trying to find a bipartisan ticket. Yeah. That's what they're trying to do at No Labels. Come up with a Democrat and a Republican, and hopefully they think that's going to attract people. I don't think that's going to work, George. I mean, they're going to have to really come up with somebody who has a lot of name recognition. I thought Joe Manchin would have been the best one, but he's not doing it. Yeah. Joe Manchin decided not to do it. So
the amount of time and effort that needs to go in to getting name recognition, just to getting name recognition, is really substantial. So the best thing is for somebody who already has it to start out and push it. And I'm not sure if there's anybody out there that wants to do a third party, or that can do a third party effectively. I mean, Bobby Kennedy is already doing it and is going to do it. I think he's going to do a lot of damage. He is going to hurt the Democrats much more than he's going to hurt the Republicans. But at this point, getting people out, getting more than 18% out, I would hope that in Texas we can do that. I would certainly hope that we don't stay at 18%.
No, that would be. That wouldn't be a very good night for democracy, I'll put it that way.
Oh my gosh.
But 18% of the total electorate, that's a very bad number, because what that just tells me is, I mean, you have 2 weeks, you know, people say they don't have time to vote. Well, first, we had 2 weeks to vote early. And you have a whole day from 7 to 7 to vote on election day. And if you're going to be out of town or whatever, there is an absentee ballot option. So, I mean, I'm tired of people coming up with reasons or excuses. So hopefully the reason is that they don't like any of these two parties. Maybe that's what it is. And that they're going to show up in
of the two parties.
Yeah.
Because at this point, it's not so much the party, it's the two candidates at the top.
That's right.
And, you know, some people are having a very hard time with both of them.
Yes, I agree with that. And that's a fair point that I heard somewhere that like half of the country would like to see a different choice for president. And, but obviously that's not going to happen. Although if I had to bet money, I think there's a better chance that Joe Biden is not on the ticket or on the ballot, meaning that he's replaced by the Democrats, then at this point, the Republicans. I don't see anything other than a health issue that could replace Donald Trump at this point. I think he's in, unless, you know, and again, God forbid, there's a health issue with him. But with Biden, I think there could be a reason for the Democrats to put him out. But anyway, so very bad turnout, 18%, you know, of the public shows up.
But of that 18%, the worst turnout of the two was the Democrats.
Oh, without question. Yep. I mean, yeah, so that.
I mean, not only should they worry about the turnout, they should worry about the turnout for them.
That's right. No, you're right. And they have a real problem with that because their numbers were pathetic. And I'll just repeat them. The top race was the U.S. Senate. That's the top one. And 2 million for Cruz, 600,000 for Allred, and altogether less than 1 million for Democrats. That's not a good number. Well, George, we'll wait for the Supreme Court to make a move on SB4. But if they don't act and it expires, I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe that means it goes back to the appeals court and SB4 goes into effect then, I guess, the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, I think the anxiety against it is based more on assumptions. Well, it is based on assumptions, strictly on assumptions. And so I really think that the law needs to stand and let's see what happens. There are some crazy. I did an interview with Telemundo earlier today and the guy made the asked me about the example. Suppose him and his grandmother are driving to church on Sunday. Will the police stop them? And I asked him, for what reason? And he says, because we're Latino. And the police will never stop you for being Latino.
Especially when there's a very, very good chance that the police officer is Latino himself.
Latino themselves.
Yeah. I mean, this is the whole farce about this whole thing that somehow these police officers are going to be targeting people who look like Latino. Right. I've heard the same thing, by the way. I heard the same thing in an interview that I did. And I talking responded point. By that by
it
saying
the national talking point by the Democrats.
Yes.
By the ACLU.
And I just said to them, look, I think I have more trust and faith in our police officers and in our National Guard than I guess you do. Or the other.
I told them, you know, now if you're speeding and they stop you, maybe that's a different story.
That's the good point. I mean, if you're driving and there's an infraction, they're going to stop you or me. I mean, it doesn't matter who's driving the car.
That's right.
But this is a talking point based on desperation. I think that's what it is. They're playing the race card and they're saying, well, you know, they're
going to be.
I'll tell you this, if they stop, you know, and this is going to sound crazy, but if they stop, they start stopping everybody in South Texas who is supposed to look Latino,
yes,
the police is going to be very busy.
Exactly. They're in trouble.
They're going to be like, you know, stopping everybody who's driving.
Exactly.
And I'm sitting there saying, you know, they don't even have time to do their work now. And so, but to me, it's desperation. That's all that it is. But they've done this before. They play this race card all the time. Well, George, as always, thank you for your time. And do you have any bets on March Madness or any interest in March Madness?
Well, I've got lots of interest in it, but no bets. I think that this is the most this is the tournament that is more equal more balanced than any I have ever seen. Right. And there's a couple of teams that look very, very good, Houston being one of them. However, anybody can beat anybody. It's going to be an open one. I love it.
Well, and that's exactly what happens. Every so often, a number 16 beats a one.
Exactly.
Which is pretty incredible. But I saw somebody was predicting that the Texas A&M Aggies were going to make it to the Final Four. Well, that, I think it's a long shot, but I'd love to see it happen. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see it.
It could happen, Texas.
It could happen. But what you said about
Texas has a bunch of great teams right now.
They do. And in fact, I think there's six. Baylor, Rice,
Houston, TCU. They are all capable of getting to the Final Four.
That's right. So it's going to be fun to watch. Good to talk to you, George.
Yes.
Have a great day. And thank you so much, as always.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Our good friend, George Rodriguez, joining us from South Texas, talking a little bit about the turnout. The primary turnout was dreadful. I mean, that's all I can say. The turnout was dreadful. 18%, less than 20% of the voters showed up. Wow, that's not a good number. Now, granted, there's a lot of people who are independent and they don't vote for one party or another, so that may explain some of it. But 18%, that's awfully low to me. And then when you go into the parties, it was even worse for the Democrats. Their turnout was pretty bad overall. Well, thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.